14 days, done and dusted. And then what? While many people at this point can tell the story of the 14 days of COVID isolation, the current recovery rate in South Africa is just above 80%. All those individuals have a story to tell. Before I kick off the last episode, let me start by saying thank you for following my story. If you are only listening to the last episode, let me get you up to speed. My name is Ngosi Mnisi. I am a 19-year-old broadcaster living in the south of Joburg, particularly in Alberton. I have documented my self-isolation experience in this podcast titled My Journey with COVID-19.
So Ngosi lives with his mother and siblings, two sisters, one 8 and another 10, and his grandmother. And he's been isolating in his home and had to deal with how to keep his family safe and staying sane throughout the isolation and the insane cabin fever. My first question to you, Ngosi, how was, you know, adjusting to being isolated, meanwhile being at home? Because you tend to want to relax your efforts, you know, of being locked into your room. You're like, well, I can just hitty up to the bathroom over there and come back, and hitty up to the kitchen and come back. So how was the adjustment for you?
I think I had to totally change the way I lived my life. I had to change how I did things. Things, you know, were not normal anymore. I had to adjust to a new norm. So first things first, when I returned from seeing my doctor on that Tuesday, which was the 23rd of June, after testing as well, she said to me, you know what, you need to start living as if you've already tested positive because we don't have your results as of yet. So immediately when I got home, I had to go straight to my room and just sit there basically and think how I'm going to do this. We then discussed with my family. Of course, now everyone had to wear masks around me. However, my sisters were not as aware of what was going on. They did suspect. However, they were just told not to, you know, come close to me. I think it also scared them a little bit because I'm very close with them. But then we then discussed that, you know, I'm going to use the bathroom with the shower. And then my family would use the other bathroom with the bathtub. And also in terms of my meals and eating time, I had to pick out my own cutlery and my own, you know, bowl and my plate and whatnot. Then I would use that for the period of isolation, the whole 14 days. Also, that would also have to be sanitized before and after by myself. Whoever brought me my food had to wear a mask and sanitize before and after they entered my room. So adjusting to this new way of life for 14 days was not easy at all. I was so used to just sitting with my family, and my family is a very intimate family, so we're pretty close. And we spend a lot of time together. So getting used to this was hard. You know, it took a very, very big psychological toll on me as a person and on them as well, not seeing me as often. So I must say it was not the easiest of things to do.
It's definitely not a walk in the park. I can imagine that. You know, something that also comes to mind is how you speak of everything being sanitized and how, you know, you had an extensive use of the sanitizer per se. I'm sure the smell must have got to you at some point.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think, but I had to really adjust to it quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I had to shift my mindset from feeling a lot of self-pity and just being positive and telling myself, constantly reassuring myself that I'm going to be all right and that I'm going to get through this. You know, It was not so long ago that I had lost my dad in May, and I just always remembered his words. My dad used to say to me, in times of trouble, you need to constantly reassure yourself that you're going to make it and tell yourself those words until you start believing in it. And I did that every single day. I just said, listen, Nkosi, today might not be the greatest of days and you're not 100% okay, but you're going to make it. So, yeah.
Now, if you follow the podcast, you'd realize that some of the episodes are missing. And you might have asked yourself, why is that so? We have the man to answer for himself today. Nkosi, what happened? What happened to the other episodes?
You know, I had to be very honest with myself on certain days. I wanted to pull through. I wanted to continue elaborating, speaking about my journey. But there were honestly days where I was not feeling well whatsoever. There were days where my body was just really giving in. And, you know, my immune system was really at war with the virus. And I could barely lift my body up. I could barely speak. That's how weak I was. I could barely finish a sentence without having to catch a breath. I could barely do a lot of things that a normal, healthy person does. And I think it is important to note at this point in time that we take advantage of so many things in life. As healthy human beings, we take advantage of being able to speak without constantly feeling as if we're running out of breath. We take advantage of just jumping up out of the bed every morning, you know, without feeling any pain or any heaviness or any weakness in our body. So in being honest with myself, I had to really say, I'm really sorry, but today I just cannot. And I contacted the producer, you know, who co-produced the podcast series with me. And I said, I can't do it today. I'm really sorry. On some days, I was so weak that I couldn't even contact her and tell her that I can't do it today. I had to wait for the next day to see if I was feeling better to even get onto my phone.
It has, however, been an interesting 11-episode journey to this point. Nkosi successfully recovered from COVID. Being a young man with no underlying symptoms, it sounded like a walkover. You have, however, expressed that it has been a difficult challenge. But I want us to recap a bit. Take us to the first episode, or let's say, the first day you discovered that you have just tested positive for COVID-19.
Right in time.
You know, you touched a bit on the fact that I didn't necessarily have any underlying conditions or symptoms. However, I think it's important to note at this point that I was born with asthma. However, as I grew up, I sort of outlived it. However, in around 2013, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 2013 or 14, it suddenly came back into my life, and I started experiencing shortness of breath when I do certain tasks. Because I was a very active person, I played rugby, I just tried to be really active in school as well, because I also struggled with my weight. So I just always tried to do some exercise here and there, but then I started struggling with that. So I then also went for about a good 5 years struggling with asthma once again and numerous hospital stays. However, once again, I outlived it, and I hadn't, you know, up to this point, I hadn't had an asthma attack in a couple of years. So it was a fear in the back of my mind and that of my family that the asthma would be triggered. But I think, you know, by the grace of God and, you know, just the strength of my immune system, it wasn't triggered. It didn't resurface. I just had shortness of breath here and there, but it wasn't to a point where I needed to be hospitalized. But yeah, also, this also speaks to underlying an underlying condition I have. For 2 years, I've now been living with PTSD, chronic PTSD. I've had to, undergo a lot of hospital stays as well. So I think that also speaks just to the mental ability, how much mental strength I needed to have and how much I needed to endure. But I think I had a great team. I mean, I had my general practitioner taking care of me. I had my psychologist. I had my psychiatrist during my whole experience with COVID, even after the 14 days of isolation, because I was still experiencing some symptoms, namely a headache and diarrhea that I was experiencing. And my medical team was still there to take me through everything. So I think they did a stellar job, I beg your pardon. But also now, just going back to your question of the first time I found out and those symptoms, I had visited a friend. It was a very important visit. I know at that point we weren't allowed to make visits, but I needed to see him. It was very urgent. And I had commuted using e-hailing services. And upon my return, I left on the Friday, came back on the Saturday. Upon my return to my house on the Saturday, I was completely fine. However, on Sunday morning when I woke up, I had a very irritated throat. But I didn't pay much attention to it because I also suffer from tonsillitis. So I thought, oh, here we go again. We'll just have to go to the doctor and get some antibiotics and we'll be fine. However, on the Monday, I had a job interview in Parktown and I decided to go physically because it was just an irritated throat. I didn't think much of it. My temperature was fine. Upon return, in the e-hailing service that I used when I was returning from the interview, I started experiencing a severe headache. It was a headache that I have never experienced in my life before and that I don't wish upon anyone. I got home, I took, your Panado and those things and your Med Lemon, and I thought, okay, let me sleep it off. However, I just couldn't sleep it off. I started sweating, and I think instinctively I knew that I had commuted using e-hailing. I had been around a couple of people over the weekend, and instinctively I knew that perhaps I have unfortunately contracted the virus. So testing and going to my doctor, I already was preparing for the fight that would be, and indeed it was a fight. My family was extremely concerned and they were apologizing. I remember my mom saying, I'm so sorry, and I said, Mom, you have nothing to be sorry about. The weirdest thing was that I had tried by all means to stay stick to the precautions and regulations. I mean, I wore my mask, I sanitized like crazy, but unfortunately it happened. And I said to my mom, listen, you have nothing to be sorry about. We're going to fight this together. Do not panic. You guys just have to basically stay away. It was hard for them to hear that, but I said, that's the only way. You guys are also not going to get it. And I really thank God that my family didn't get it. None of them were sick during this entire time. But my mom and I joke now and say, we're actually having this conversation yesterday. We said, perhaps we did have it. We just didn't show any symptoms. Well, she's referring to them. And, but I was more worried about my grandma.
Yeah.
Who is over 60, more than anything. But fortunately, they didn't, show any symptoms if they even had it. Or possibly they didn't have it at all.
Now, Nkosi, you spoke of how important it is for your family to have shown you the support that they have. And you've also indicated how well your family has adopted to your situation. But you didn't tell me about the little girls. How were your sisters taking this?
You know, as I mentioned, the girls didn't know. They suspected, but I think we didn't want to cause panic because the thing is, they were still going to school during this time, and we didn't want it to be a thing that they can't go to school because they are in close proximity with someone who's infected.
Yeah.
However, we did seek some advice from my medical team on what to do. And they said, you know what, if there is no symptoms, there's no need to worry. But immediately when one of them presents the slightest of symptoms, or my gran or my mother, then you need to immediately stop them from going to school, and you guys need to come and consult, and you know, thereafter test as well.
Yeah.
So also another thing to mention, I mean, the test is, yes, covered by medical aid, but now this is, now you're talking about four people from the same household having to test. It is quite a budget in the pocket. You know, it's not something anyone plans for, so we had to weigh all those options and see what the best thing to do. And as I said, that fortunately none of them had symptoms, and subsequently none of them probably had the virus.
Hi, my name is Ayanda Hlongwane from Durban, KZN, and I'm Uskhona Mnisi's friend. How I took the news of Nkosi having contracted COVID-19 was mostly shock. It came to me as a shock. And I think it made me, like, as much as I didn't know that the situation is serious, it made me believe more that it's really serious, because now it's someone who's very much close to me, a dear friend. So I just urge everyone to keep safe and keep other people safe, keep themselves safe, and help with reducing the spread of this virus.
Hi, my name is Mihla from Midrand, and I am Kosi Nisi's friend. When I found out that Ngosi had tested positive for COVID, I'm not even gonna front, I didn't take it well at all. I remember that morning so clearly. He posted on his status that he got his results and that he had tested positive and that he was going into quarantine. He was basically telling us not to worry and that he'd be okay. I just remember commenting with question marks, because I couldn't comprehend what that really meant. That was just my brain refusing to believe, because I didn't know how to take the news at all. I called him. No, he called me shortly after that, because I'm sure he realized from my text that this isn't sitting well with me. So he called me shortly after that. He calmed me down, and his journey through recovery, I've never seen or met anybody who could be going through so much emotionally, physically, and yet stay so positive throughout. He was positive throughout his journey. I remember he'd call me and calm me down instead of me calming him down. So yeah, man.
Nkosi is a student at the University of Witwatersrand, and while all of this is happening, our 19-year-old broadcaster was still expected to conduct his studies. How was that going for you? How did you cope with your studies, being sick, and everything that's happening around us?
I think I'd just like to say that 2020 has really tested my endurance, has really tested my patience, but also it's taught me that life is certainly a cycle. And in being a cycle, it is not a smooth cycle. It has phases where the sun doesn't shine on the plant. and phases where it shines to its utmost best. In just preparing for exams in general before COVID, I was dealing with loss. I had lost my uncle in Jan, and subsequently my father in May. And exams were to begin the week after I had buried my father. I think even without COVID in the picture, I was at a very weak stage. My understanding of things was very limited. I did not actually comprehend what was happening. I hadn't digested anything. I hadn't come to terms with what had happened. So now, coming to terms with the fact that I've lost people, I've suffered great loss, because my father was not only my father was my best friend, my father was my twin. You know, wherever my father was, Nkosi was there. So losing him was losing a part of me. And now I also felt like I was losing myself, you know, and then being infected with COVID-19 just intensified everything. So preparing to write exams, yes, it was online. Yes, I could refer to my material, but preparing to be in a state of mind where you're able to produce things of highest quality and a high standard was the most difficult tasks that I've ever had to navigate in my life. But I can't even tell you how I managed to not only pass my exams, but pass my exams with this.
Going through the loss of a father, having to struggle with the stress of exams, assignments, and at the same time, Nkosi had to then fight for his life against COVID-19. What has been your pastime or go-to music or activity to help you cope with this difficult time?
You know, people that know me personally will know that in my car, in my house, the only thing that plays is gospel music. And I don't make an alternative at all. So I also discovered new artists along the way.
Oh, nice.
I discovered new meaning to music, you know? I discovered different interpretations. You know, sometimes we listen to songs in moments of joy and we don't really understand the meaning of it. And such a song for me was the song It Is Well, which is a popular, I'd say, hymn, you know, in the Christian community. And I learned that there's a story behind that song of a man that had suffered the loss of his entire family. And after questioning God so much, he finally got down and said, "It is well," because it has happened, and he has acknowledged that it has happened and now wants to move on and not carry pain anymore. So I constantly reassured myself with such music. I constantly wanted to find out true meaning. I wanted to be inspired by songwriters' journeys that they were going through when they wrote certain things, you know. There's a song by DJ Zinhle called Umlilo, which was a big hit in South Africa over the December and festive period. But that song makes such religious connotations, you know, to say in times of trouble, we need to listen. We need to listen, because in listening, we'll find the voice of God telling us what we should do in such times. So those was my favorite activities, just listening to the song, to songs and music, but not only listening to it, but listening to understand, listening to get a message, you know, to extract a message, listening to find strength from other people's journeys. And I also enjoyed doing a lot of reading on COVID-19, you know, to see that perhaps in day 9, what do people often go through? How far are they? How are most people feeling at the end of the journey? Just to find a lot of strength and to also feel as if I belong to a community, an extraordinary community of survivors, of people that have survived. So Those were my favorite activities to do. Those are things that kept me sane. But it's I can't go without mentioning my family and God. I really got a new understanding of a higher power. I really got close to the higher power that I refer to. And it was a journey. It honestly was a journey.
It is a journey indeed. And you spoke of the importance of listening. And someone right now is listening to you and might have received the news that they are positive of COVID-19. They might be going through the same strenuous journey of having to discover that they have this illness, which is about to take over their lives for a while. What would you say to them in closing of our conversation today?
You know, I think the best way to put it is that, once again, it is well. Don't go questioning, why me, why now, and why my loved one, or why my family. It is well, and I always say to people that the most vigorous tests in life have the most amazing outcomes ever. When you test it, you truly become a better, a stronger person. And it's going to be hard. You know, if you've tested positive, it's going to be hard. For some people, it's not going to even feel as if there's any change in that. My aunt tested positive. My aunt had no symptoms for 14 full days. No symptoms, no cough, no sight of chest pains, no weakness in the body, no shortness of breath. And she was one of the fortunate ones. And I really wish that upon everyone, that you are fortunate enough to have no symptoms. But not only that, I wish that you are aware that you are positive so that you don't spread the virus. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing, is that a lot of people aren't aware that they have the virus. But mm-hmm. also, I think this also goes into regulating. Because now a lot of people that are asymptomatic, which means you're not presenting any signs or symptoms of the virus, are not permitted to test. But I think people should be given the option to test. I mean, we're sitting at a place where there's enough capacity now in hospitals and in the health system. So we should be testing people more so that people are aware. Because I think for me, majority of the people that spread the virus are people that don't know that they have the virus. You know, my aunt, yes, she didn't know, or rather she had no symptoms, but she was aware, and she stayed in isolation for 14 days. So I just want to say in closing that, you know, big up to all the survivors. My sincere condolences to people that have lost people to the virus and continue losing people to the virus. But I think if we really become a society of people that listen and take instruction, I mean, the cooperative governance minister, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, was speaking the other day. And basically, she echoed the sentiments that the government has no problem with us being a society that enjoys beverages and alcohol or tobacco products. But we need to do it in a responsible manner. We really need to be responsible, because it's in those moments where we let our guard down that such viruses prevail in our society. So I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to make it if we stick to regulations, if we listen, if we obey simple rules of wearing our masks and sanitizing. A lot of people get tired of sanitizing. Because you go to a mall and each store sanitizes you from the entrance until you leave. Don't get tired of that. Don't get tired of that. Don't get tired of wearing your masks. Don't get tired of social distancing. And if we don't get tired of it, if we just hang in for just a little longer, I think we might be COVID-free very soon.
Thank you for listening to Nkosi's Journey. I'm Freddie Mabitsela. This podcast is produced for VOW FM by Shreshwet Ku, Nkosi Mnisi, and myself. To Until next time.